just when you think, thank you, just when you think we had all the difficult topics done now, we're heading for the information needs resulting from changes in accounting policies and estimates. And we have new staff here, not new, but getting staff here to guide us through this topic. And we have I see three staff joining us and two listed, so we have, can you please introduce yourselves?
Oh, sure. I'm Donato Zombino from the Italian Staff Center. She's a very good from the Italian Staff Center, and she's Nadia from the staff.
Thank you. Can you please walk us through your presentation?
Yes, sure, thank you. Good morning, everybody. We are trying to help the ISB project that is the review of ISEIT. This project is part of a broader project of the ISB that is the disclosure initiative. Today we would like to discuss with you the result of the survey that we have done with the investors, and also we would like to ask you some questions about the result of the survey. In the slide 3 and 4 of the presentation, you can see a quick overview of the main requirements of ISEIT. In particular, in slide 3, we report the definition of accounting policy, and you can see that we have two types of changes in accounting policy. The first one are changes that are mandatory. We have mandatory changes in accounting policy when a new policy is required by a new standard. And we also have voluntary changes in accounting policy. And we have these changes when a company decides to change an accounting policy and when the standard permits to use two different policies for the same transaction. In slide 4, we report the definition of a change in accounting estimate. And it's important to note, in my view, that a change in accounting estimate is something that is normal. It's the normal process of preparing financial statements. And we don't know to use a change in accounting estimate with correction of errors, because correction of errors relates to prior years, relates to the past. A change in estimate relates to the future. In slide 5 and 6, we try to explain why we are doing this project. These slides are very important for us. And we are trying to do this project essentially for two reasons. The first one is that the retrospective application is not easy to do. According to ISEIT, a change in accounting policy should be applied retrospectively. In the first bullet, we try to explain what it means apply a change in accounting policy retrospective. It means, in practice, to restate 2 years on balance sheet, 1 year of income statement, and to determine a cumulative adjustment for the prior periods that should be accounted in the open equity of the earliest comparative period presented. As you can imagine, sometimes it's difficult to apply a new policy retrospectively. And so sometimes in the ISB, when issue a new standard, does not require a full retrospective application of the new standard, but require something that is more easy for traders to apply. And in summary, sometimes they do not require to restate the prior period's figures.
So what this means is that if there are excessive costs, the standard has a workaround that you do not need to apply it.
You don't need to retrospectively restate.
So that's not a reason for the review then, because it's not a problem that way.
But the principle in ISEIT is that you should apply the new policy retrospectively. This is the principle, the general principle that we have in ISEIT. Yeah. when the SB issue a new standard, yeah, they can decide to say, okay, you can follow the general principle, I say. Otherwise, they can say they provide a specific transitional provision. For example, they can say you don't need to estate the prior year's figures. And also, we have also the problem with voluntary changes in accounting policy, when the entity chose to change the accounting policy. In this case, the general rule is the full retrospective application, but we'll see in the next slide that we'll see later in the next slide that sometimes it's impracticable to apply any policy retrospectively. So in ICA there are some requirements. Changes in accounting policy should be applied retrospectively. This is the general rule. Change in accounting estimate should be applied prospectively. As explained in slide 6, prospectively means that there is no restatement for prior periods figures, and the adjustment, the difference between the new estimation and the old estimation is accounted in profit or loss. In slide 7, we have the first question that we would like to ask you, and is how important it's for you to see a full restatement of prior period figures. So it's very important to you to see two balance sheets restated, one profit and loss restatement and the cumulative adjustment for prior figures accounted for in the opening balance sheet of equity.
Just to get it clear, when management changes an accounting policy, that's not when a accounting policy is changed by the ISB. It's when management decides to change.
We have two kinds of change in accounting policy.
Can we narrow the question to maybe the one or the other? Because there may be different answers here.
Okay, let's speak about voluntary changes.
Yeah, voluntary
when
changes.
The company decides to change its accounting policy.
Okay.
The question is, do you need the full statement of prior previous figures or not? It's very important for you. And you can see the preliminary result of something in slide 7. About the 50% of users think that it's very important in this case to restate the prior
previous. Was that when it was management
decided,
or is that all changes?
It's for management. It's voluntary changes.
Peter?
I think a change in accounting policy is when ISB is issuing a new standard or a change in the standard. I don't think the management should be allowed to use this accounting when they themselves say that we are changing accounting policies. And one of the reasons is that I came across construction companies a couple of years ago. They presented the development according to percentage of completion method. And then suddenly they say, we change accounting policy for a part of our business, going over to completed contract. So they restated the previous year, which became lower, and which meant that they took profit from the previous year over to this year. And when I dig into that, to me it wasn't really any change of business or anything. It was just a change of kind of policy. If they want to change to completed contract, it would have been much better for me if they just start doing that the first day, the first new year, and then very properly states the consequences in the report, in the quarter report. I'm interested.
But that would have still had the same effect on the current.
No, you don't change. If you choose to change anything in the accounts, you cannot change the previous year. That was the trick in this company. They took profits from the previous year and transported it to the latter year.
Yeah. What I want to understand, though, just to make sure I understand exactly what you're saying, is so they decided to change policy, so they went from percentage of completion to completed contract method.
Yeah.
And they reflected that by saying, okay, last year would have looked like this, and now I've got a bigger number in the current year. But if they are still allowed to change their policy but they didn't restate, wouldn't they still have the big numbers in the old comparatives and in the new year?
Right, so the growth rate, they get a better growth rate by doing it the way that Barry's doing well.
Exactly. They increase
so you don't mind it being changed?
No, if they want to change, I mean, if the business change, if percentage of completion isn't valid any longer because we have switched to buying stuff from the supplier or something, then it's fine with me if they are start using another method. But I cannot say that it was a change in accounting policy. I think changes in accounting policies are when the ISB is issuing a new standard.
So do you want people not to be allowed to change their policy?
Yeah, themselves, definitely.
So you're
because of the
mistake.
Okay, right,
Yes, I would tend to agree that, I mean, you know, we should be a lot more lenient when it's actually the IASB that says, you know, from now on you need to apply a different standard than if a company who for some reason wants to change their accounting. I think in that case, if they're allowed to do it, they need to be fully transparent. But I just wanted to say that I personally can live with two options. Either have full restatements of everything, including quarters, or no restatements at all, and just keeping in mind that, you know, some of the year-over-year changes are just due to the application of a different accounting standard. But the thing that is really, really incredibly messy is if you get some restatements, but not all, and then the numbers basically in your model don't really add up, and you're starting to try to manually make your own changes as an analyst, which is something I had to do, for example, last year when the long-term benefits, employee benefits and pension accounting changed. And the companies, sometimes they just say, well, you know, if we make a change, then, you know, for the various quarters, we just do that on an ongoing basis. So 3 weeks before we report quarter one of this year, we'll actually give you what the numbers really would have looked for the quarter last year. Or, you know, they might just give, you know, as we've shown here, they might give you some of the balance sheet data, but not the income statement data. And then you just have these numbers that don't tie in and don't make sense. And it just creates a huge headache. So I think either way, they need to be very consistent, restate all or restate nothing.
I definitely agree. On a quarterly basis, it's a huge problem from time to time. The quarters, second, third, and fourth quarter, you have according for the previous year, you have according to the previous method, and then you only are in with one quarter. So that's a mess. I definitely agree.
I put up my name tag as well. I agree with Marieska that to me there's a distinction between the ISB imposing a new or producing a new standard versus a company changing an accounting policy. And I think if a company changes an accounting policy, the retrospective approach is preferable. I think that produces the most useful information. Why? Because then you have if you do prospectively, you basically have a wrong previous year and a wrong current year. You have two wrongs, and because you're adding to the performance last year's error and reversing last year's errors in current year. I think it should be disclosed properly. When we had an accounting policy change, this was the effect, so that but that the primary financial statement should reflect the accounting policy change retrospectively. Should it go 3 years, 4 years back? I mean, if there's a long history, I understand that is quite difficult. I think it's desirable, but I understand that may be quite difficult to do that. I think retrospective is preferable, and that's the contrast between a change in estimate, which actually, if it is a change in estimate, well, last year you thought it was something else, and this year you think it developed in another way. You have new estimate. That adds to the performance of this year. So I think a change in estimate validity is implemented prospectively. So it's in that sense, there's nothing wrong with the current standard, in that sense. Robert?
I just wanted to echo but a little bit, expand on what's said. In the case, companies have picked a policy. there are valid business reasons to change that policy, but at that point, this is a self-imposed, they've decided to do it. I don't think they can argue that they've decided to do it. We need the comparability, so it's full retrospective. I don't care if you're having an amendment. You know, it's tough. You picked it, you decided, now you want to change. The price of being able to restate your world is full retrospective. And a little bit to Marietta's problem, and if you do it halfway through the year, which is really silly, it should be quarterly. Because you know, this is not something you should, you know, it's not spur of the moment business. This should be a thoughtful process. And frankly, I'm concerned about engineering the results. I think a lot of these restatements are because, oops, now we think it's better to show it this way. So I think the bar should be very, very high. I think there are valid reasons why the policy can be changed, but the bar it's not a whimsical change. You pay the price, full retrospective, period. And we'll talk about the other ones later. Okay. Peter.
Okay.
I have a little business though. I completely agree that if you're going to change your policy, you should be forced to restate. I actually think the way the rules are now is quite good. I do think that it does create incentives for companies to change policies at convenient times. We did a survey a few years back after the financial crisis when commodities collapsed. There was an inordinate amount of companies switching from LIFO to FIFO in the U.S. because they benefited from the decline of commodities on the way down, and then they switched to FIFO, and as they rose, they switched again. So, and I think, you know, very rarely is it an emergency. We have to change our policy, so if you can't restate prior periods, then wait a year and keep track of what the new policy would show. To the point that Peter made, which is a good one, the company changing from complete a contract, that to me is not an argument for not restating, because you could also change it the other way. So if company X changed a completed contract and benefited from restating, you could have the other company, if they didn't restate, switch to POC and they would benefit. So you're going to have that either way. And to me, I'd rather have the restated number than you can compare. So I just think, you know, restatement should be required, and I completely agree that if it's too much of a burden to restate, then don't change your policy.
I think hopefully not to upset the flow of the way your presentation goes, but just to flag one thing. I think that one of the things that the Italian Standards have tried to help us with is where there's this gray between what's policy change and what's change. And it's interesting, you use the, I can't remember which way around you said now, the FIFO-LIFO or LIFO-FIFO example, because a number of people think that's a change in estimate, not a change in policy. And that's one of the examples often given.
Just FYI.
That's a stretch. That's
you might say it's a stretch, but if you ask our interpretations committee on that, on switching from accelerated depreciation to straight line, anything like that, is it because the way the standard is written, you're actually just using different ways to estimate the cost. And we can argue either way, but there is this uncertainty.
But this is interesting. This means that because I think then your example is for us around the table clear that, you know, this is a major change.
So I don't want to divert,
my comment on estimates was, when in doubt, force retrospective. When I just discovered where the doubt line is, it's really clear that.
And unfortunately, it's the opposite. It's if it's unsure, then it must be an estimate, and it must be perspective.
Well,
that's what the standard says.
Well, okay. Maybe the other way around.
I think it should be the other way around.
Yep.
Yeah. Sorry, agree. I was cross with me because I've upset in the flow.
No.
Well, you know.
Peter.
Thank you. I'm not sure this is the proper time, but I came across this situation back in 2003, 2004 in Sweden when we introduced IAS 39. and the companies were able to put development expenses in the balance sheet, and they could not change for the previous year. Because I don't really know the reasons, but something like, well, if you didn't have the accounting the previous year, you cannot restate it, and so on. And that created problems to start with. Some companies introduced it 2002, some others 2003, and then 2004. So I think every time when you have a changing policy, don't give companies incentives to do it differently, do it at the same time. It's much easier to handle. But also, if they cannot restate, to me it's much better if they just inform about the situation. If we would have changed the accounting, then the consequences for several line items would have been the following. But we are sticking to the previous method. And then the next year, when we actually have the previous figure, we can start using the new accounting policy. What happened was in several companies that profits all of a sudden just increased. And somewhere in the report you could find a comment, and this was in the quarter report because it was the first quarter for all the companies, that yes, we have applied IAS the 38 or whatever the number is, development expenses, and the consequences the following. Yes, and I think that is too weak. I need to have that kind of consequence clearly in the face of the income statement.
Shall we move on for the next question?
But if you talk about mandatory changes, i.e. non-voluntary changes, so what would you prefer in terms of the perspective, prospective obligation for changes from the introduced by new IFRS? And just to create a little bit of context, in terms of voluntary changes, current IFRS do not provide that many options for companies, and we did take stock, which unfortunately is not part of this presentation, and we counted like overall like 16 options, and some of them relate to measurement, but many of them relate to presentation or classification. They're not that like big kind of options in terms of changes in accounting policies, like I'm talking about S16, S40, etc. But in terms of mandatory changes, which are introduced by IFRS, these changes are numerous. These changes are quite numerous, and we also again have taken stock, which we kind of didn't present here, that transitional provisions are extremely varied. Current transitional provisions are extremely varied for the reason because preparers struggle to apply new guidance retrospectively. So because we discussed voluntary changes, I just wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about mandatory changes and non-voluntary changes.
Okay, Robert?
For mandatory changes, the retrospective, full retrospective is preferable. The reason for retrospective is we're always interested in the comparison. I said earlier, absolutely retrospective, and here I say preferably. I think that, and the key difference is. I believe the ISB and only the ISB has the ability to assess whether a relaxation of that respective rule is necessary. So, assuming due process, we assume due process. If the ISB says, "Look, we've listened carefully to the preparers who always say it's impossible, but this time we think they might actually be onto something, we're going to give them a little bit of a break." I think that's acceptable from a user point of view.
I have nothing to add to that. shall we move on to the next question?
Yes. The next question is slide 8 of the presentation. In this slide, we ask you what information you need when it's impracticable to apply a new accounting policy retrospectively. And in this slide, we are suggesting some possible approaches to reflect a change in accounting policy. And the first one is the limited retrospective application approach. Under this approach, the new policy is applied retrospectively only from the beginning of the earliest comparative period presented. Another approach is the catch-up adjustment approach. Under this approach, the new policy is applied retrospectively only to items existing at the beginning of the current period. Another approach is the prospective application, and so this is like changing accounting estimates. We are also proposing to add additional disclosure in the case of catch-up adjustment approach in the prospective application. And we prepare agenda paper 4A. Agenda paper 4A, you can see in more details the effect of these approaches. And you can find in page 8 of agenda paper 4A a summary of the differences between these approaches. Our question to you is, what information do you want when it's impracticable to apply a new policy retrospectively?
Anyone? Actually, I think for a voluntary policy change, this level of impracticality should be set quite high. I mean, it should not be an easy loop out. I think. Also from all comments made. I don't think the fourth option really is an option, it's like an add-on, because you have to choose how to implement it. I mean, you cannot just say, I choose for disclosures. I mean, you will have used a new primary financial statement, so you have to make, there will be a difference. So how do you account for the difference? So, and I think the one that should be ruled out is the prospective application, because that's creating an error in the performance of this year that you, as any analyst, would want to take out. That would be the start point of your analysis, to get rid of that result from your current. It relates to so I think either a limited or a full or a catch up, but. No way the prospective application should be for accounting policy change. Huh? Yeah. Sorry. Maria.
Sorry. Yes, I completely agree. I would really like to see the limited retrospective application, and I wonder what's the following suggestion to make it less cumbersome in the event that the IFRS forces changes would actually be workable. My point is that whenever we change accounting standards, when an analyst then goes back and do trend analysis, you have a break at some point. So you might restate the last period, but you know, when you do your 5-10 year analysis to get a feel for cyclicality, whatever, you do have that break. And you know, if we've lived with an accounting standard for a certain period of time and we come up with a new standard, why not give the companies a little bit more time to implement it, and maybe just give them the choice? So instead of saying, okay, you need to apply it now, you need to start applying it from 2017 or 2018, and then restate one or two prior periods. Or you can actually start using it next year, and then you won't need to restate anything. And that way, well, you still have that, either way you have that break in the accounting system. There's a bit of a delay in terms of implementing a measure that IFRS finds more useful, but it might make it a lot less cumbersome for both the companies and the analysts, because to be honest, I've seen a lot of accounting standard changes where I say, okay, this doesn't actually change my view on the investment thesis of the company. And instead of actually digging into, you know, whether the new drug is going to be, you know, a medical revolution or just another Me Too product, and whether that's going to be $1 billion in sales or $200 million in sales, which is what a lot of investors really expect from me, I spent a whole day just basically fiddling with my model to make sure it's accurate and in lines that nobody really looks at. So this is why I'm looking for a more practical solution.
Robert. There's no question that accounting standard causes a break. For that reason, I would prefer, all things being equal, I prefer the adoption to be the same with all companies, because then you maintain the comparability across companies.
Yeah.
I disagree with this idea that sort of it's because you're trying to model the old way with the new way. Having a couple of years where we actually have the old way and the new way is very useful, because then you can begin to sort of, I'm not going to use the word smooth, but you can then interconnect these two models that you have. So my preference is full retrospective, everybody adopts the same way, you get your 2 years, 3 years warning, and go back 2 years when you do it, with a reasonable out reserve only to the ISB, who says they're the only ones that can say, look, there's a, this isn't practical. So they're the only ones who get the imperative.
Can I ask a question?
No.
Peter was.
I didn't see yours.
I was just trying to think about the responses. Now, to be clear, when we're talking about this accounting policy change in this question, are we referring only to a new standard, or are we referring, again, now to management's choice and a new standard? Both. And are the year two answers the same if we're talking about both? Management's choice or a new standard? Management's choice or a new standard?
Yeah, I was just really talking about new standards now, but I also really see Robert's argument of the lack of comparability.
To be clear, when we're talking about the company has decided,
okay.
To Dan's point, it's not urgent. So go away with the impracticality.
Okay.
It's literally collect the 2 days, you know, if you don't have it today, fine. In 2 years, you can change over when you've collected the data.
Yeah.
Go away.
Yeah.
But, sorry, I'm being pushy a little bit, but if there was counselors, they do find it practical. Out of the four methods listed in the paper, what would be your preferable?
Or the ISB is determined it's impractical. What would they mandate to do?
So is this a policy change or is it a standard change? Just for clarity.
What's standard change?
The standards changed, the ISB has decided it's impractical to go all the way back. Which of these would you rather they built into the transition provision?
So say it's something like it's a change to fair value measurement and you just don't have fair values in the past.
That's a really good example where one of the problems with doing retrospective fair value is you sort of have to make assumptions about what you would have assumed in the past. No, but that's a hard one, honestly. That's a hard, you know, what would I put in my model when I was doing this 2 years ago? It's a very hard thing to do. So there are some weird cases where...
That's a common one.
Yeah. We know that, but what would you have to do?
Right.
We all agree that you can't go back on those.
Well, you have no choice.
No, I know that. So which one of these would you do?
Yeah.
But in that
you're
case...
You're restricted, Robert.
You're restricted.
These.
A, B, or C. That's
your answer. You have to do prospective, because you can't do...
Prospective.
No, but how do you do retroactive fair values? I don't
catch up.
You can do the catch up.
You can do the catch up.
And or you could do additional disclosures. And what would you like to know?
So every time you tell a user into additional disclosures, every time we're going to say yes. So stop throwing that out.
But what type of disclosures? I'm trying to understand. You know, if you can't go back and get all these the history recreated. What sorts of things would you want to find out at the time that might help give you a bit of insight into what's happened?
By definition, it's impossible to find that.
Well, one we haven't done actually, and I'll go off piece here, so I apologise. You can hit me later because it's not one of the four you've got here. But what we did in revenue, if my recollection is correct, was we allowed a catch-up adjustment and then to deal with the trend analysis, we said, but in the first year you apply IFRS 15, mm-hmm. continue to apply IAS 18. So we did the trend analysis forward rather than back.
Mm-hmm. That's what we call catch-up adjustment. With
enhanced disclosure.
With enhanced disclosure from the handouts.
I wouldn't have. Yeah.
But that's, I think that's probably the best you can do. Because then you... You still
analysis.
Have your trend analysis based on the old policy. You present a new number, but you have your trend analysis, and you don't have a break in a trend. You expound. I think it's the best of both worlds.
So
I think the way you did that at revenue recognition is probably then most practical. At least it's not prospectively, because then you distort.
The current period,
and that's what you not want, because then you have a problem next year, because you have no comparable number for next year. So you have 3 years that have no comparability. Okay, Peter.
This is a side comment, I suppose. I think we should consider the fact also that accounting information. We're in this room here. We're all people that sit down and do homework, but accounting information out there is being used to a large extent through databases and things like that. So this whole discussion about comparability is very, very relevant for all those databases. And that's why my vote is always, to the extent possible, we do need to have the comparability.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, in these database applications of accounting-based investing and all that, you create sort of weird breaks.
I wanted to address that.
Sorry, Peter first.
I just want to go back to my previous comment about the IAS 38. I think it's better to wait a year. Give me extra information about the changes, and then the next year do this limited retrospective application.
Mark?
Yeah, just a related point. Picking up on page 8, where you've got the solution for changing accounting policy. I think we were looking just now at definition between a change in policy and a change in estimate. I think it's important that where there's a change in estimate, we also have a solution. I'm not quite sure whether that is in the mandate or not. It'd be a shame to lose it. I think it's important that we have adequate disclosure on the impact of the change on the estimate, given that those can be extremely material as well.
Just to close off on Alan's comment, I actually view this as a hierarchy, sort of, you know, the top one is full, partial, you know, we're going from okay to terrible, but, you know, you can bring out examples where we are already in the bad to the terrible, so it's really a question of, you know, how bad is it, given what you're doing, and sometimes we may be in a very bad situation.
Okay, good. Thank you. Any? Do we still have another? We have 1 minute.
Okay,
sorry.
You're thinking about removing this policy versus estimate decision, really?
In slide 9 and 10.
Yes.
This is slide 10. This is our proposal that we have tested in this project. Yeah.
Our proposal of the Italian standard setter. Proposal.
Ooh. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Our proposal is to eliminate the distinction between changes in accounting policy and change in accounting estimates, and to propose a distinction between change in measurement and other changes in recognition, presentation, and so on. Why we are proposing this? Because, as you noted before, sometimes it's very difficult to understand whether a change is a change in accounting estimate or a change in accounting policy. An example is, for example, if you change it from FIFO to weighted average cost. Some think this is a change in accounting estimate, others think that this is a change in accounting policy. So we are proposing that for a change in related to measurement, the change should be applied prospectively. All the other changes should be applied retrospectively. This is, in summary, our proposal. And you can see in slide 11 that so far the 50% of the investors support our proposal, but the 40% does not support this proposal. So the results are very...
Just to get this clear, because I think what you're saying is that a change in estimate should be treated equally to a change in policy. So
no,
change.
No. And see, if you have a change in measurement from cost to fair value, any change that relates to measurement, this change should be applied prospectively.
As
prospectively.
Prospectively. I don't understand. I mean, then you
forgot the distinction between change in accounting policy and the change in accounting estimate. Forgot this. Okay. You
yeah,
have this distinction.
We still have. We do consider them both as a change in measurement. That's what you're saying.
We are saying change in measurement. A
change
in measurement can be a change in or a change in estimate.
So if you use Dan's example of a change from whichever direction it was, FIFO, between FIFO and LIFO, irrespective of whether you thought that was a change in accounting policy or estimate, that would be a change in the way something is being measured.
In measurement.
And
so therefore you'd say prospective application.
I think you know the answer there because we have extensively.
Okay.
I mean, this is like talking in Robert's language. You have like the okay and the terrible, and you know, like the no go. The no go area.
It's
because you get a distortion three years in a row.
yes, I'm a cynic. If companies have chosen to use a different measurement, I guarantee the result is better. I guarantee it. So, you know, if you're going to say that we've changed the rules so we look better, please give me how I get, let me comment. Let me see how I have to reconnect my curve.
Yes, of course.
This is so.
I think one quick thing that's important to highlight, because Mark made me think of it, is that changes in accounting, voluntary changes in accounting policy are pretty rare.
Yes.
They tend to peak when there are opportunistic reasons to do so. So, for example, when interest rates dropped a couple of years ago, a whole host of companies in the U.S. switched to mark-to-market accounting on their pension plans. But other than that, you tend to get very few of these voluntary changes. I think where you need to be more careful is with things that are changes in estimates, because that's extremely frequent and the disclosure is very poor.
Yeah.
So overall, like I said, I think the rules for changes in policy are good. My concern is with changes in estimate where you take a warranty footnote, for example. They change their estimate. All you see is on page 50 of the annual report that there was some kind of change in estimate related to the warranties. And that occurs 10 times as much as changes in policies, if not more. So I think that's the bigger concern I would have. And I'm still not clear on this measurement versus other stuff, I think. But
would you like to see that restated, the example that you just gave us?
I don't, no, because I think perspective in some ways makes sense. If conditions change such that, using the warranty example again, if conditions change due to technology that justifies a change in warranty estimate, that's fine. I think you need a better disclosure around the impacts of those changes, though.
Because I think the danger is if you restate, it's not necessarily a better trend, or it will definitely, going back to Robert's comment, it will definitely present a better trend, but it's not necessarily the true trend.
But we're talking about estimate change and not the policy change. So.
Yeah, but change, the changes should be like treated equally in this.
Yeah, but that's, we got a bit.
Okay.
So far,
you couldn't restate for estimate changes, quite frankly. There's just too many of them. And
yeah.
I think
we have a problem with the way the question is framed, because you put them in one basket and then you ask their opinion. So we really distinct between the two.
I think there really is, from what I've heard in the conversation, there seems to be a real distinction in your minds between estimates and policies.
Yeah.
So they might be grades, but I think you think about them quite differently. So I think a proposal that puts them in the same bucket and puts a measurement label on it is sort of the opposite of the way these guys are thinking.
Yes,
I think that's the core issue with the reaction to this question.
Because the measurement, if it's definitely a change in measurement basis, since 2002, the ISB has never required retrospective. It's actually always introduced an exception. So our exception is actually our principle because of the hindsight bias and all those sorts of things. So. Not one case. Is that
we have tried to then do extra efforts to make sure we make up for that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
More disclosure around those changes, and that's the nature of it. And so there is a bit of a grey area between what is a change in estimate and what's a new measurement. LIFO and LIFO FIFO, is that a re-estimated cost or change in measurement basis? I think it probably sounds like a different basis for thinking about it. But we need to get much more clarity around those ourselves. Standards.
Okay, we need to wrap up here. Is there any last question you want to move to? Oh, Robert.
I just wanted to briefly, changes in estimate, Dan's right, we're not getting enough information. We need to know what the assumption was, what the old one was, what the new one was, what the impact of the change was, and we need to, if you group multiple changes of estimates, you can't net. So you can't sort of make it look smaller if you say others. Well, you have to put all the positive others and all the negative others together. And we can have a, and I think that's worth a whole discussion about what is we need to know in the change of estimates. Although I think we're sympathetic to not having to restate for the basis of changes of estimates.
I just want to say that we didn't expect it to be an easy discussion.